It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Happy Monday to you. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Thank you so much to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. And thank you again to you. Yeah, you, the listener. Driving in your car. You're at home. You're at work. You're going to. You're going from. Doesn't matter to me. Thank you for being here. What a Monday it's been. What a weekend it's been. And we got more. The New York Mets are going to the postseason. The Braves are trying to go to the postseason. We got more football tonight. We got another one of those stupid NFL doubleheaders. One game sucks. And the other one, we'll get into the Lions and the Seahawks. At least it'll be better than the Titans and the Dolphins. We'll talk about it all. Unfortunately, awful news earlier today, learning of the passing of a legend in Dikembe Mutombo. NBA had media day, got a lot of teams, people saying a lot of things. Ben Simmons reminded people he's still good. Joel Embiid says he's lost weight. Victor Wembanyama says he's gained weight. The Chiefs look like they may be down a wide receiver in Rashee Rice. It's just a lot has taken place over the past 24, 48 hours. Oh, my goodness. Don't even get me started on Alabama and Georgia. We're going to talk about it all, though. You can always listen to this show on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. You can lock in on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 158. And if you have yourself a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. And you want to be a part of the show, you can do that too. You got something to say? Did I say something crazy to you? You got an opinion? Knock yourself out. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. If you follow me online, good for you. You know about a lot of the things that we will discuss here over the next 4 hours because I just shared it out on social media. X, Twitter, all that good stuff, whatever that Elon Musk guy wants to call it today. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, I want to ask you how you're doing. And based on the New York Mets result this afternoon, I think I know the answer, but how are you? Go ahead, verbalize it.
I am alive, first and foremost, which
that's good.
I wasn't sure if that was going to be the case 2 hours ago with how this game was going back and forth. But, JR, it is a glorious Monday. This is the greatest Monday of my life, so I'm happy to be here with you.
This is the greatest Monday of your life?
Easily, wow. By far.
That's a lot of Mondays. That's a lot of Mondays, and this is the best one.
Best one. Beat the Braves, go to the playoffs, wipe away a lot of torture that I've seen the Mets fall to in Atlanta over previous years. This is a great day to exercise some demons. And you know what? Let's just put the foot on the throat. Set him home here in game two.
Well, right now, the Braves currently lead the Mets 1-0. And so here's the deal, a little complicated for anybody paying attention. The Major League Baseball postseason starts tomorrow. Because of the stupid Hurricane Helene that came through here in Georgia, we know the game didn't get played last week. And so they played a doubleheader today right up the road from me here in Atlanta, Georgia, to pretty much determine who was going to go to the postseason. There are really three teams that were left in the dance to make it for the National League as a wild card. It was the New York Mets, it was the Braves, and the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are currently sitting around at home, pretty upset right now. Here's the deal. If the Mets won a game, they go to the postseason. If the Braves win a game, they go to the postseason. Well, the Mets did their part. The Mets, earlier this afternoon, as Hickey just said, they beat the Braves 8-7. It got dicey. It was not that clear. The Mets were down 3-0 going into the eighth. The Mets then scored six runs in the eighth. They made it 6-3. Nimmo hit a home run. Ozzie Albies came back at the end half of that inning, and he cleared the bases in the eighth. He made it 7-6. And then for someone that a lot of New York Met fans just have destroyed now, basically since she showed up to town, I don't know how much more Francisco Lindor needs to do. But I want you to listen to this from the Mets radio network. Francisco Lindor, he needs his ass kissed. Listen to this.
Johnson ready. His first pitch to Lindor. Swinging a high fly ball, well hit right center. Harris going back. It's on the way. It is gone. End of the Braves bullpen in right center field. Francisco Lindor has an MVP moment. Whether he wins one or not, he has just put the Mets back on top, 8-7.
Yeah, and he did that after, you know, Edwin Diaz forgot how to play baseball for a little while. And then Edwin Diaz came back out, and he helped close things up for the New York Mets in the ninth. I want you to take a listen to this. The final call from SNY helped put the New York Mets in the postseason and made the Braves have to sweat it out.
2-2. Ground ball. Lindor waits on it. He's got it. And the ball game is over. From 0-5 to OMG. What a ride. The Mets are going to the postseason in 2024.
I got to tell you, I find this unlikely. You heard it. The Mets started the season 0-5. And okay, whoop-de-freaking-do. People start seasons 0-5 and then you win like 10 games in a row. Now you're 10-5. Whatever. The New York Mets were 11 games under 500. The Mets have been killing it since June 1st. You know, on paper, they've been the best team record-wise in baseball. They've done this all season without Kodai Senga. They're their number one pitcher now that all the old guys ended up leaving or basically getting dumped out of town last year. I'm talking about Scherzer and Verlander. And everybody else has picked it up. The Manias of the world, they're doing the work. I expected the New York Mets to be a 500 baseball team. The season is over. Well, they got one more game. They're kissing 90 wins. They're right now 89-72. They're in the progress of finishing out the season right now. In this game, that means nothing to them. The Braves are trying to win the game. And they couldn't even have Chris Sale out there because the guy's dealing with a bum back. The Mets have shocked everybody. Whether it's Grimace from McDonald's showing up and doing cameos and making things fun. You know, Hickey, what other gimmick did I miss this year? The stupid, what is it, a Mets pimp? What was that guy? Met pimp?
The rally pimp. He was out there.
Rally pimp?
The rally pimp. Well, he's kind of faded to black a little bit.
Grimace took his spot.
Grimace did take his spot.
Oh, my goodness.
You have a song, OMG, by one of the Mets players that has really taken over. You heard there in the final call. Oh, from 0-5 to OMG. You had a hot dog eating dog, Izzy, that kind of took storm here this as well.
Welcome to the Mets, folks. Go ahead, keep going. Anything else? Any other gimmick?
I think that's it. I think three or four gimmicks were just about it here. Oh, you had Hawk Tua. Now she's trying to get in the mix because she threw out a first pitch. I think she's a Mets fan now.
She threw out the first pitch at a children's afternoon, like a camp day, right?
That's right. That's right. We talked about it on the show.
Let's bring the lady who is famous for, you know, a certain act. Let's bring this lady out to throw out the first pitch in front of kids so, you know, everybody can be explained. Hey, who's that? Why is she famous? Who is that? Well, she's famous for explaining, you know. Anyway, those are all the gimmicks. Let me ask you this. For years, I've had to explain to people on WFAN in New York City. Just like relax on Francisco, like take it easy on a guy. Are people going to give him a break now? Like they break this dude down like, hey, you're not as good as, I don't know, Derek Jeter or Jose Reyes. So you suck. Why do they give this man such a hard time?
I wish I knew. I'm with you. I'm on your side in terms of being a fan of his and how well he's played. I think his biggest thing is he gets off to slow starts and people just jump on that right away and don't let go. It's really, really weird why he's kind of like a lightning rod, if you will. But, yeah, I think this season, I think today, for any of those idiots that still maybe doubt him or aren't sold, I think their opinion changed big time.
Yeah, the guy plays almost every game. Almost every game. I know he's dealt with a back issue at the end of the season here. Hit that big two-run home run that we just heard. And people in Cleveland know about Francisco Lindor. The man plays every day, every inning, every minute. You're going to count on him to hit you 30-plus home runs, drive in 90-plus. He'll steal a base every now and then. Like, the man is one of the best players in baseball. It's like Met fans don't appreciate him. Maybe they will now. A matter of fact, after the victory, Francisco Lindor says, you know what? I'm just trying to win, trying to go to the playoffs and do more than that.
We took one step closer to where we want to be. Yeah, that's exactly how it feels. We're in a mission and we understand what the goal is. But to get to where we want to be, we got to do stuff like this. And, man, it was a fun game. It was a fun game.
Man, it was a back-and-forth game. It's like, oh, my God, the Mets are losing. Oh, man, the Mets are winning. Oh, man, the Mets are losing. Oh, my God, the Mets are winning. And Edwin Diaz, Hickey, what's wrong with this man? He didn't know how to play baseball? He didn't want to help Pete Alonso out with an out at first? What was he thinking?
I mean, I guess he thought he was a fan there. Well, let me just watch this great play and not go over to cover the base and then couldn't find the strike zone. That was stressful.
Well, after all this got fixed, thanks to Mr. Lindor, that two-run home run to give them the lead, Edwin Diaz, after they got the lead, he demanded, because Ozzie Albies whooped his ass, he demanded to go back out onto the mound and, I guess, rectify and fix the situation, redeem himself. Listen.
They battled. They came back, you know, and then after I saw the homer of Lindor, I told Mendy, I'm going back out no matter what. You know, I don't care what you say, I'm going back out. I will get this win for the team.
Did he fight you on it?
A little bit. But he fight me on it. I said, trust in me, I got this. That's how I said to him, and I went out and I did my job. When he came to the mound, I was like, stay calm, don't take me out. And we talk about the running, and then he left out and get the other two outs.
Everybody likes a second chance, right? You don't always get things right the first time. Well, Lindor fixed things, and he went out there, and God bless him, he closed it up. And so the New York Mets are going back to the postseason. Hickey is going to lose. Hickey, you going to? Well, we got to see. And so we have to see how this game ends first, because they're either going to go out to Milwaukee and take on the Brewers, or they're going to go out to San Diego and take on the Padres. And I don't think you want, if you had a preference, you don't want to see the Padres pitching, right? You want to go to Milwaukee?
Oh, no. I don't want to see the Brewers. I want to desperately go out to San Diego.
Why?
The only team I fear is the Milwaukee Brewers. In the playoffs.
Why so?
The Mets can't touch their pitching. They've played them six times this year, beginning of the year, end of the year. They've gotten shut. The only time they actually hit them was yesterday when the Brewers packed it in because they had nothing to play for, and the Mets kind of got lucky because the Brewers mailed it in. Otherwise, they've been shut down by their pitching. They steal a ton of bases. The Mets can't throw anybody out. It is a bad, bad matchup.
You think going out to San Diego would be any better?
Yes. Okay. I'll take my chances.
All right. Well, we'll certainly see. The postseason gets started tomorrow. In about an hour or two, we're going to find out who's snatching up that final spot. Are the New York Mets going to just completely eliminate the Braves with a victory and send them packing? Is Arizona going to get in as a result? Or are we looking at Arizona sitting at home while the Braves occupy that final spot? I know a lot of people here in Atlanta right now are on pins and needles, but let's be real. Even if Atlanta goes in, they have been decimated by injuries. Austin Riley goes down. Acuna, they have been decimated. There's no chance in hell for them to do anything this year. They're pitching as well. Now you got Chris Sale dealing with back spasms. I mean, for all of this, just for all intent and purposes, just for an opportunity and a chance to have somewhat of a competitive postseason, let's get some healthy teams in there. I know the Braves are currently leading right now, still 1-0, top of the sixth. Let Arizona get in, okay? I know they went to the postseason last year, ran to the World Series. That's not a full expectation, but I want to see some competitive teams. Hickey, I know you want to see Atlanta lose. You're not happy enough. You have to see somebody else suffer in the process.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know it.
Cutthroat. Cutthroat guy.
That's sports, isn't it?
It is. Well, I don't care what somebody else does. As long as I'm doing what I do, I don't care what happens to my rival, right? I don't know.
Well, maybe that's a loser mentality that I have.
Oh, Met mentality? Is that what that is?
That also could be it, you know?
Not this year. The New York Mets are certainly rolling into the postseason. But in a few hours, we'll know exactly where their plane will be taking them. Is it going to Milwaukee? Is it going to San Diego? And are the Arizona Diamondbacks going to be in the postseason as well? We will find that out in a matter of hours. The postseason officially starts our wild card games. You got the Tigers and the Astros tomorrow or early in the day. You have the Royals and the Orioles. And we're waiting to see who's going to take on the Milwaukee Brewers or the Padres. And it's been a hard knock life back up against the wall for the New York Mets. But they're in. Congratulations to all the Met fans out there. I know there's a lot of Met fans listening in Western New York as well. Met fans are all over the damn place. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We got a full show. We got a lot of football to get into. We have a Monday night football doubleheader. We've had some amazing college football games over the weekend. We've had some major disappointments on the college football side. Hello to Ole Miss. And you too, Georgia. We'll get into that. And then, you know what? Speaking of big wins, we had a huge win last night for the Baltimore Ravens. We're going to get into that on the other side of the break. We'll spend some time going through some of the interesting quotes from NBA Media Day as well. Congratulations. Happy Monday. It's good to be back. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Phone lines open if you want to give me a holler. It's 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. The New York Mets come up with a big win here in Atlanta, Georgia. They stamped themselves a ticket to the postseason. They're playing one more game. Atlanta Braves are hoping that they can win this one and make their way to the postseason. They better hope the New York Mets don't give a damn about winning or losing now that they're in the postseason. A big win for the New York Mets. I got to tell you about a big win that took place last night. Sunday night football, I'm sure you saw and we all know about it. The Baltimore Ravens going out there and handing the Buffalo Bills, taking their lunch, not handing it to them, but taking their lunch and kicking their ass 35-10. Baltimore ended up on top. The first loss for the Buffalo Bills this season. And the Ravens dominated the game. I tell you that by the score. And when I talk about dominating, Derrick Henry did the damage. They handed this man the ball, 87-yard touchdown run, the biggest dude on the field, at least from an offensive standpoint, bigger than some of his own linemen. The man runs like the wind. Ran down the field, ended up with 199 rushing yards for the entire game, including two additional touchdowns. He was able to get one in the air from Lamar Jackson as well. Lamar only threw for 156 yards. A lot of people upset about that. I'll tell you about it in a minute. He had two passing touchdowns, a rushing TD, and they just took it to him. You know, because there's no logical reason to think that the Ravens were just that bad enough to fall in to 1-3 at home. So the Ravens even up their record at 2-2. You have the Buffalo Bills who now fall to 3-1. And the Ravens, especially after the Steelers loss, you know, they're in a good spot. The Ravens are going to take on the Bengals next, who beat the Panthers and Andy Dalton yesterday, by the way. And now Derrick Henry, he still looks great. And this is what I've wanted for years when it comes down to Derrick Henry. He's such a special player, special running back. He's a throwback. We don't have too many bruising running backs in the NFL. These guys are smaller. They're pass catchers now. They do a little bit of both. They're third down slot receivers. And it's like, man, we need somebody. You just hand him the ball, old school, and punch you in the mouth. Those guys on the defensive line, they're too slow for Derrick Henry. He's already through the hole. He's gone already. Those linebackers, he's just as big, if not bigger than some of them. And forget about the third level, all the defensive backs. What the hell are they going to do? These defensive backs are 5'10", 5'11". What are you going to do when the train comes rolling your way? The answer is nothing. Congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens walking away with that victory. Derrick Henry last night, you know, evening up their record for the Ravens at 500. He says, yeah, the win last night, we got that because of the culture that we've built, and I just got here.
It's been fun. You know, we didn't start the way we wanted to, but, you know, like I told those guys, this is why I came here, because of culture. You know, our backs are against the wall on two. We just kept believing. We kept fighting, and now we're back where we want to be.
I love this. It's just so disappointing that he had to spend so many years in Tennessee. And I know about the shock surprise playoff run with him and Tannehill. And well, come on now. Ain't nobody think that they were going to go to the Super Bowl. No. That was like a flash in the pan. It happens to everybody. It's football. It's the NFL. Lightning struck and they caught it in a bottle and they were able to go on a run. But realistically, I mean, even Ryan Tannehill, I hope he was giving Derrick Henry a commission on his own contract as Ryan Tannehill now sits at home, I guess, waiting for somebody to get hurt. Like, that team, the engine, was Derrick Henry. Everybody knew he was getting the ball. Everybody knew he was going to knock people over. And they operated the entire offense off of play action with the threat of this man just taking it to the house. Well, now you have to account for Lamar and Derrick Henry. There was a lot of people upset about how Todd Monken handled the offense and what are they doing? How are these two? Well, they look fine last night. I know people who had Mark Andrews on a fantasy team. They were not happy as he ended up with zero catches. But as Lamar Jackson said, I'm sure he saw a lot of the tweets. All that matters is that they got the W. Lamar Jackson actually went on social media earlier today. He said, "This is a team sport. I'm not out here satisfied when I throw for 300 yards, but I still take an L. If I throw for 50 yards and we win, that's what the hell matters." Use a different word. Y'all stop commenting on our socials about the yards, about your FanDuel or your parlays, because they did not hit. It's basically the translation of what he wrote. Bottom line, leave him alone. And we hear this all the time about professional athletes. A guy stinks the joint up. And people are saying, "Hey, you ruined this for us. You screwed up the game. We lost. We lost money." Well, it's called gambling. Sometimes you're going to win, sometimes you're going to lose. I remember specifically, Hickey, remember the guy I called up from Buffalo last Friday? And he took issue with the fact that I said the Ravens first. They were the home team. And then I also said I believe that they were going to win. I said, "Hey, I think they're going to run them up and down the field." Now, I'm not a mind reader, but I don't predict the future. But it's not difficult for me to look at Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson and go, I think these two guys are going to run crazy. And they certainly did. Remember that guy from last week?
Cliff. Cliff from Buffalo.
Damn, you remember? What did you take notes?
Well, Cliff is... Those kind of calls you don't forget. Because what you also said was, "Cliff, on Monday, if they lose, don't be afraid to call me back. Cliff, you're on the clock."
You think Cliff is going to call?
No.
You're not going to call, huh?
After that ass beating, I don't think so.
I mean, if they got their ass whooped the other way, I can't do anything but say I was wrong. Hey, Cliff, do us a favor. Call back and just say, "Hey, you were wrong." And just say, "You know what, JR? You were absolutely right. I didn't expect 200 yards rushing, but damn, that's what they went out and did. They destroyed him." And so Derrick Henry, he continued on. And he says, "You know what? The win last night was about all of us. Team effort.
You know, we just wanted to focus on us. We knew if we practiced throughout the week, executed, do the things we need to do on all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams, then we'll come out and play our game and play the Ravens style of football."
Yeah, Raven style of football. Punch you in the mouth. Run the football. It's going to be fun. The Steelers took an L yesterday. The Browns took an L yesterday. Bengals got a victory. That's up next for the Ravens. Texans are sitting around waiting now for the Buffalo Bills. Everything is, I don't want to say kind of going as planned, but it is. By the time we get to the postseason, it's the same old Baltimore Ravens, Buffalo Bills. Who the hell is going to end up winning? Who the hell is going to look at the Kansas City Chiefs and maybe push them the hell up on out the way? And the Chiefs, it looks like they have some injuries to kind of worry about with Rashee Rice potentially having a torn ACL. And so things are starting to round out into form. We're starting to have a better idea of who's sitting at the top of some of the division standings, who has no chance in hell. Hello to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know what? We've played enough football where we know who's good and we know who's bad. Some teams are being elevated and some, they're just on a pathway to nowhere. Congratulations to Washington, too, by the way. Lighten up Arizona. You know, Hickey, it's too early to give Daniels Rookie of the Year, right? Too early?
Too early, but boy, is he starting to run away with it, huh?
Who the hell comes? Who the hell completes 80 and 90% of their passes? Who does that?
The answer? Nobody.
Yeah, except for him. It's crazy. Jaden, 82% completion percentage, number one in the league. Highest over any four-game span in NFL history. Yeah, I saw Jaden Daniels hugging Doug Williams yesterday. Hopefully some of that Super Bowl magic rubs off on him somewhere down the line moving into the future. Not this year for Washington. Imagine if Washington is just hanging out right there with the Dallas Cowboys at the end of the year in the NFC East. I will be laughing. Because the Eagles, I don't know what they're doing. The Eagles might kind of have to dump Nick Sirianni before you know it. You know what? We're going to talk about that at the top of the hour. We'll get into the bad Eagles. We'll talk about the bad Jets. Marco Belletti, are you available on Sundays to help the Jets? Rob Saleh needs help.
Sure, I can give him a hand.
Will Aaron Rodgers like you better?
I think Aaron and I would get along pretty well. I get his sarcasm and sarcastic humor. I think we'd get along pretty well.
Okay. All right. A little side job on a Sunday. Well, the New York Jets might need you, or maybe Philadelphia might need you before the year is up. Them guys are looking real bad right now. Ugly. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's not just the NFL teams. Some of them that have looked ugly to start the year. On Saturday, we had some ugly performances. Georgia Bulldogs lost to Alabama again. Ole Miss proved that they can't get over the hump again. And there's some other losers that I have to refer to on the other side of the break. We'll get into that. We'll talk about Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. What the hell is going on with them? Aaron Rodgers, I think now we know why he pushed his head coach, Rob Saleh. We'll get into all of that on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. So we've already talked about the good. Good for the New York Mets going to the postseason. And we talked about good for the Baltimore Ravens, 2-2. Things are currently looking good for the Braves in their second game against the Mets. Braves lead 1-0. The Braves are playing for nothing. The Mets are playing for nothing. The Braves are trying to get to the postseason with a victory here. And not too far from here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It was disgusting on Saturday night. Because again, after losing the SEC championship game to Alabama last year, after sitting on top of the rankings to start this season and trying to get some get back against a team that no longer has Nick Saban as the head coach, Georgia choked again. The Bulldogs, right down the road from me, the Georgia Bulldogs, they choked again. I can't even say that they choked. The Georgia Bulldogs were obliterated and came back at the end of the game. And then they choked again at the end. And they lost. And Kirby Smart now has a 1-6 record against Alabama. And it's just like, come on, man. And like Nick Saban is sitting outside. He's sitting up in a booth with the media. What are we doing? Like, you can't win? 28-0? 30-7? Hickey, I fell asleep. I quit and I fell asleep.
Really?
Yeah, I quit and fell asleep. Yeah.
So when you woke up, was it like during the comeback? Was it after the game? You see the final score?
No,
the hell?
I watched the end of the game. I fell asleep. It was an ass whooping. I said, I'm not doing this crap. And then I fell asleep. And then when I woke up, I said, whoa. And I wasn't surprised. Like, this is college football. I wasn't surprised. Georgia came out and scored 4 touchdowns in the second half to briefly take a 34-33 lead. And then we all saw that ridiculous Ryan Williams touchdown to basically win it. And I'm like, damn it, Georgia actually did it. Georgia's going to. And then it was like, nah, there's too much time. And Jalen Milroe, man, that dude is crazy. That's a bad dude out in Alabama. I mean, he has grown in leaps and bounds from what we saw at the early portion of last year where Nick Saban was like, I don't know who the quarterback is. And then Milroe took over. Now he has continued to take over. 374 yards passing, two touchdowns, another two touchdowns on the ground, 117 yards rushing. What is this guy, a machine? And then Carson Beck Sikkim. Don't want to hear nothing about him anymore. Sorry. I guess Brock Bowers can make you look good. He's in the NFL right now, making the Raiders quarterbacks look like decent guys. Carson Beck, three touchdowns, three interceptions. He I don't know why people get so infatuated with Georgia QBs. Everybody can't run around and, I don't know, be Stafford. I mean, Carson Beck ain't it. Is Stetson Bennett even on a team right now? Is he like a backup somewhere, practice squad?
I believe he's, what, third string with the Rams? I think he's on the roster.
At the end of the season, right, at the end of the preseason. Now, the most popular thing, Stetson Bennett, well, that's not popular to, what?
I think I know where you're going.
It's not popular. He's more known for, getting hammered and trying to break into houses that aren't his. Like, that's his claim to fame after winning the championship? Come on, man. Hickey, if I had a tear to cry, I would. But I don't. That was just very miserable. And it was just business as usual. It's like, hey, we'll give you two championships, but you got to suffer all the other years. And now that Kirby Smart is 1-6, he spoke to the media after the game, watching his team that can't score a point. Disastrous. Kirby Smart said, am I worried about my 1-6 record against Alabama? Listen to what he said.
I don't know. What's our bounces record against them? You know, has anybody got one better than 1-6? Displayed them six times? I don't think so. I think they got really good players. They got a great program. I got an immense amount of respect for them. They do a great job. I mean, Nick's recruited good players. Kalen's gotten good players in here, and it's a tough battle. Of those one, two of them been here, you know, and they've been tough. They've been really tough battles. So a lot of credit to those guys and a lot of respect for them.
That's a good coach, right? That's what a good coach is. Just give him credit. Give him credit. Doesn't matter. Alabama beats up on everybody. Kalen DeBoer, this man is just, they haven't lost a beat. Not offensively at all. Kalen DeBoer says, hey, our guys worked, and we got the results that we wanted.
Tip the cap to Georgia. Just they're a heck of a football team. You know, we pushed each other to the very end. So I'm proud. Again, can't say how proud I am of our guys. We talk about you get what you deserve, and these guys come to practice every single day. They're in the weight room. Any opportunity where we're asking and asking them to do something, they're all over it, and they're doing it to an extremely high level. So, we expect to win games, you know, these games. And, you know, so of course the locker room's full of excitement, but I also, you know, want to make sure that we understand that's the expectation. And, you know, there's a lot of season left. And so I want to make sure we don't blow all our energy into this win and make sure we can handle success and get ready for next week.
They have Vanderbilt next. Come on now. They got Vanderbilt next. Unless they go into that game and they're just absolutely sleepwalking, Alabama's just going to run all over Vanderbilt. Come on. Hickey, I'm out on Georgia. I'm out.
That's it? You're throwing in the towel? National title hopes?
No.
Done?
No, there ain't no national championship, bro.
Wow.
I get it. Kentucky is getting into rock fights with everybody. And that was the disappointing victory that they barely got by. Like, oh, my God, y'all can't score. You can't do anything. They couldn't do anything against Alabama. Like, their offense is ridiculously unpredictable. And when you look at the teams that can just flat out score, ain't nobody looking at the Bulldogs to light it up. I'm done. I'm finished. No national championship. Are they going to get into the playoff? Yes. Yes, the Bulldogs will absolutely get into the new 12-team playoff. But I'll tell you this much. Even if we were back to the four-team format that we had last year, I wouldn't be mad if they got booted and didn't make it. Y'all lost. Like, you can't win a regular season game against Alabama. They have to come out and one up 28-27-0. What are we doing? Is that a team that looks like it's just a championship contender? No. Done. I'm going to watch, Hickey, but I'm going to be sad the rest of the year. They got Auburn next. If they can't walk a mud hole through Auburn, then I'm just quitting for the whole year, Hickey. I'm done.
That, with how bad Auburn's offense has been, if you can't outscore them, I would agree. You are in deep, deep trouble. Really fast, did you see what Alabama has put around their facility today?
Oh, boy. No, I'm not familiar. Go ahead. Fill me in.
All across the facility, they have
what?
Rat traps.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Dead serious.
Now, was this a prank or was this a Kalen DeBoer thing?
I guess really a Nick Saban thing.
Yeah, but who laid the traps?
Oh, probably a low-level staffer. Kalen DeBoer's not going to risk snapping his fingers, you know.
Oh, I know that, but whose idea was it to do this? Like, students? This was intentionally done by the staff?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, boy. Not to eat the rat poison from the media.
Don't take the cheese. Oh, it was boy. A great win, but hey, Vandy, they could get you.
Alabama is now number one in the country on the AP Top 25. The Georgia Bulldogs have now fallen to number five. Texas, it was their job to go out there and beat Mississippi State, and they did 35-13. Texas is now number two. Quinn Ewers is also going to be back in a week's time to take on Oklahoma. So now you can tell Arch Manning, hey, you've played enough. Go ahead and sit down. But everybody knows Alabama right now, they're the team to beat. It's still early. They've only played four games. Played the Bulldogs, one of their top competitors here. Alabama's going to be there at the end. Georgia, not so much. They have no idea how to score the ball. And I continue to be impressed. I mentioned Jalen Milroe and his stats as a quarterback. Man, this guy's going to be special when he gets to the league. If he continues to grow at this rate, and he talked about what Alabama proved by beating Georgia. Listen.
It shows that we have tremendous grit, tremendous determination. We practice really well. One thing that I told the team today is that we prepared really well this week. You know, we had a great week of preparation, and it factored into our success today. And I told them, you know, what's so important about preparation is that you don't fall back. I mean, you fall back to your level of training, you don't rise to the occasion.
Okay, all right. Hickey sounds like a leader, right?
He absolutely does. He does. He's done a lot of maturing, really, even going back to last year as well.
Absolutely, man. He's elevating. We got guys who are how many more years of eligibility does Uyangalale have? Is he done? Are we done?
This is mercifully it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Guys hurt, can't play. What does he do? They've been talking about this dude, Hickey, since high school. What do you do when now nobody wants you? What NFL team is going to say, hey, we can't wait to bring you? Nobody's looking at this guy. He was supposed to be the next big thing. What does he do? Like, what is he doing next year?
Selling insurance.
Oh, my God.
Maybe real estate.
That's tough for real. Had these documentaries and interviews. This is the next big guy, and he's going to do it for Clemson. And the guy got to crisscross the state, the country, to get a chance and come back. I don't know. I feel bad. I feel bad because that is a real punch to the gut. It's a reality check. Like you're not good enough. You were told that you were going to be good enough. You're not good enough to hack it. And so now you have to go, you can't play football. I mean, where outside of the NFL, there's no way to play football. What is he going to do? Just say, I'm going to go to Germany? Where else are you playing football on earth that's worth? Canada?
CFL, come on.
Okay, I got a bunch of Canadians that are mad at me now.
What about the AAF, what XFL, AFL?
The what? The Rock League?
Yeah. What about the Spring League?
That's coming back next year?
I guess, right? Yeah. I think so.
I'm just saying. Well, I know they got a good team out of Birmingham. The Stallions, is that what they call?
The Stallions, who I think are what, a back-to-back or a three-time champs? Something like that.
We get a lot of callers from Birmingham who tell us about the Stallions and how good they are. Congratulations to Alabama. Shame on Georgia and the Bulldogs. And we're going to get into some more college football as the evening goes on. There's another huge disappointment that I had to just shake my head at. Ole Miss. Watch out for Ole Miss, JR. Watch out for Ole Miss. Well, Ole Miss can't even hang with Georgia or Alabama. And look at what they did over the weekend. We're going to get into Lane Kiffin and how bad he looks. And how about this? Hickey, did you see Barry Sanders is there at Monday Night Football? Did you see that?
No, really?
Barry Sanders just walked out onto the field. And every time you see Barry Sanders, I just go, wow. This man is, he's still there. He showed up. He's like a ghost. Shout outs to Barry Sanders, a legend. Seattle is going to take on Detroit tonight. Monday Night Football doubleheader. But before that, we got a crap game that's going to start in about 40 minutes between turnover Will Levis and then the Dolphins. We now got Tyler Huntley out there playing QB. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. We'll get into some other losers. The New York Jets suck and Eagles are terrible. We'll get into it on the other side, the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move.